Let's turn to Psalm 98. Our Old Testament reading, Psalm 98. I'll sing the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the earth, or the ends of the earth, have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise, Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it, the world, and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. And then in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2. You were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm glad God amen on that one. All right. We're looking at Daniel chapter 3 tonight. It's a story that probably you all know, but I think it will be edifying for us to look at that. Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to be reading, beginning at verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, the pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, and bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression on his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent, the furnace overheated. The flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. And then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th man is like the son of the gods." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful to be together this evening to hear from your word. Lighten our hearts, lighten our minds. Give us understanding. Enable us to apply your word to our lives that we might be more like Jesus. This we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I do not watch a lot of television, but I have one show that I like to watch whenever possible. The name of the show is Undercover Boss. I don't know if you've ever seen the program, but the program features CEOs from various corporations. The CEOs put on a disguise. They go undercover. They're pretending that they are taking certain jobs in the company. They go undercover to determine who is making a positive difference in the company and who is making a mess of the company. Well, it was funny to watch the CEO of Johnny Rocket Restaurants make hamburgers. They actually had to throw the hamburgers away. It was so bad. And then it was actually painful to watch the CEO of the Chicago White Sox clean the restrooms. He actually left the restrooms in worse condition than when he found them. But it's the end of the program that's exciting. At the end of the program, the CEO reveals himself to the people. He takes off his disguise, and then he hands out bonuses to the people who did a good job. Can you imagine your boss giving you a $20,000 bonus check? Just because you did a good job, that's pretty cool. You would probably feel like, wow, this is like the best Christmas day of my life. This is pretty cool. Well, in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, the CEO, if you will, or the king, found out that some of his subjects were not so committed to him. He did not even have to go undercover to determine this. Now, you remember that Nebuchadnezzar called all of his people together. Scholars believe there were about 300,000 people at this event. And he tells them all to bow and worship this golden image. And when they hear the music, that's exactly what they did, except 3 Hebrew men. You know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, the king was furious. And he called them together. And he says, "I'm giving you one more chance. If you do not bow, I'm throwing you in the fiery furnace." Now, I like how the men respond to the king in verse 16. Notice with me what they say in verse 16. "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." In other words, the men were saying this to the king: We respect you. You're our king. But there's a higher authority that we answer to. We worship the true and living God. And we worship the King of Kings and Him only. Now, I would imagine at this point, the king feels embarrassed. After all, he's the most powerful man in the universe. And he can't get these three Hebrew men to do what he wants them to do. No matter how much pressure he can put upon them, they refuse to bow to the image. Well, the king becomes even more angry. You remember that he has his strong men tie the three Hebrew men up. He throws them into the fiery furnace. But this is the best part. The men were completely unharmed. And I think it's interesting that the guards that threw the three Hebrew men into the furnace died immediately from the heat. But here's the three Hebrew men, unharmed by the flames. Now, this is the time of the year when we remember the wise men who came approximately 600 miles to worship the Christ child. But this passage in Hebrews chapter 3, we see three Hebrew men who refuse to worship idols. They worship the Lord God and Him alone. But the story is more than just about these three Hebrew men. The story is also about a king who learns something important about God. And so this afternoon or this evening, we want to look at what Nebuchadnezzar learned about God. And then you will know how to face the fiery furnaces of life. For if you're in Christ Jesus, you want everything in your life to glorify and honor God. Well, what then did Nebuchadnezzar learn about God? First, Nebuchadnezzar learned something about God's power. He learned something about God's power. Now, in this upside-down world of sin, it's easy to doubt God has power sometimes. But we know from Romans chapter 1, Paul tells us that we see God's power at the work of creation. God simply spoke, and creation came into being. That's pretty powerful, right? He simply spoke, and creation came into being. And we see God's power through the miracles of Jesus. Only the Messiah could have cast out demons, raised the dead, and healed the sick in such a way. But here, Nebuchadnezzar learned something about God's power. He looked into the furnace, and he saw the three Hebrew men were unharmed by the flames. He learned that God has power to protect his people. Look how he evaluates the situation in verse 25. I see four men unbound. Now notice this next part. Walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. Nebuchadnezzar saw with his own eyes that God has power to protect his people. Now at this point, some might protest. Wait a minute, Dan. Wait a minute. God doesn't always deliver people the exact same way. Christians do suffer, don't they? Time to time. And we all face physical death. That's true. Sometimes God allows suffering to change our character. And sometimes God allows suffering so that we will be a witness before the world. People see how we handle our situation. They see how God has given us grace to handle the situation. And they proclaim, wow, only their God could have given them grace to endure that situation. But maybe you're suffering this evening, and you're not even sure why you're suffering. Please take great comfort in knowing this. God will always use your situation to advance his kingdom, and his hand is always, always upon you. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha's servant learned about God's protection and protect his people. He walked out of the house, and he saw the Syrian army surrounding them. The Syrian army surrounded them for one reason, and one reason only. They wanted to kill the prophet Elisha. And so the servant did exactly what I would do in that situation. He panicked. He ran into the house. He began to yell at the prophet, "What do we do? What do we do? What do we do?" This is what the prophet said in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. In other words, they're more for us than there is against us. Now, at this point, I would expect the servant to be a little frustrated. What in the world's wrong with the prophet? Common sense says we're in trouble. Common sense says we're doomed. But the prophet also prayed this prayer for his servant in verse 17. Lord, open his eyes. Lord, open his eyes. The servant then went back out. And when he looked up, he saw the army of heaven. Now, perhaps this afternoon or this evening, you're facing a difficult situation. And you feel that the power of darkness is greater than what you can bear. And you're wondering how to handle that situation. Let me encourage you to ask God to open your eyes deeper to the cross. Now listen, please don't miss this. God has provided for our greatest need. Salvation. And if God has provided for our greatest need, the need of salvation through Jesus Christ, then he knows how best to take care of you in every situation. And so Nebuchadnezzar learned an important lesson about God. He learned that God has power to protect his people. Whether in life or death, God's power to care for his people is greater than Satan's power to destroy God's people. Let me say that again. Whether in life or death, God's power to care for his people is greater than Satan's power to destroy God's people. And that's why Paul tells us in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Second, Nebuchadnezzar learned something about God's presence. First, something about God's power. Second, something about God's presence. Now, think for a moment the last time you felt painfully alone. You can be at a large Christmas party and feel painfully alone. You can be with your family members during this holiday season and feel painfully alone. Loneliness can be a painful thing. But Nebuchadnezzar learned something about God's presence. He looked into the fiery furnace, and he saw there were not three men, but there were four men. And Bible scholars agree, the fourth man was Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus was with them. Jesus was with his people. This is an Old Testament vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen again to what Nebuchadnezzar says again to us in verse 25. But I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. Now listen, and the appearance of the fourth is like the Son of the gods. This is the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of this fiery flame. Now, during this Christmas season, we remember the words of the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And you know the name Emmanuel means God with us. Now, what does it mean that God's with us? Well, Jesus, who is the eternal Son of God, left his throne in heaven. He became a man. He was born in Bethlehem. He lived among his people. He ministered among his people. His miracles prove that he was indeed the promised Messiah. But if you're in Christ Jesus, there's something else. Just as Jesus was with the three Hebrew men in the fiery furnace, so Jesus will be with you in every circumstance of life. And we have this wonderful, wonderful promise. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I, that a wonderful promise? I will never leave you or forsake you. Years ago, I was assigned by the denomination to mentor an intern. And so I met with the intern and his wife at our first meeting over lunch. And during that time, the intern's wife shared with me her personal testimony. Let me just give you the highlights of what she told me. Her father was an alcoholic. He abandoned the family when she was very young. And she would see him from time to time, but there was no opportunity to build a real relationship with him. And besides that, he wanted nothing to do with her. And this, as you can understand, left her in a painful situation. But then she heard the gospel. And she said, when I heard the gospel, I knew that I wanted to follow Jesus. Because here's a man who would never, never walk out on me. Here's a man who would always be with me. A man who would never leave me or forsake me. Wasn't that wonderful? I just was so thrilled when I heard her thinking. Perhaps like the Hebrew men, you feel like you're in a party bus. And you feel painfully alone. Let me encourage you to practice Hebrews 4:16. You know the words in Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We draw near the throne of grace through prayer. And as we draw near the throne of grace, we realize that Jesus is with us. And he has mercy and grace to help in time of need. Well, Nebuchadnezzar learned a lesson about God. He learned that God was not far from his people, he was with his people, and he will never leave them or forsake them. Well, years ago, one of my university students came to talk to me, and he said to me, Dan, I just learned an important lesson. What's that, Barry? I just learned that I don't learn my lessons from God the first time. I have to repeat the same lesson again and again and again. You identify with Barry. And then he said this, I have decided I would learn my lesson the first time. Smart kid, right? Now, Daniel chapter 3 is a story about how God delivered three Hebrew men. But it's also a story about how Nebuchadnezzar learned something important about God. He learned something about God's power. He learned something about God's presence. But I want you to notice how Nebuchadnezzar openly responded to the situation. Look with me at verses 28 and 29. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than to serve and worship any god except their God. Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb for limb, and their houses laid ruin, and there is no other God who is able to rescue this way. Well, at first glance, it looks like Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson, right? Look at verse 28. He tells us that he is praised to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In verse 29, he declares that no one should speak against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he even tells us at the end of verse 29, there's no God that could deliver like this. Did he learn his lesson? Not exactly. You see, if you look at verses 28 and 29, you'll see something important is missing. Nebuchadnezzar did not declare the God Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego his God. Now later he will do this in chapter 4, and he has to be sent out to the field to live like an animal before he's willing to submit to God.
was not willing at this point to declare that our God is the King of Kings. Our God is the Lord of Lords. Our God is above all gods because He is the only true God. He is the only God. He is the King. Now let me raise this question to you this evening. Perhaps like Nebuchadnezzar, you know something about God, but you have never declared Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so God invites you tonight to confess your sins and make Jesus your Lord and Savior. And then you can sing with us that wonderful Christmas carol, Joy to the World, the Lord has come, the earth is here. Let me speak to a few moments to the Christians. Perhaps this Christmas has not been a good time for you. You're going through a painful time in life, and your pain is unbearable. Let me encourage you this evening to join the angels who sang at the birth of Jesus. Let me encourage you to join the wise men who traveled over 600 miles to worship the Christ child. Let me encourage you to join the angels in Isaiah 6 and singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You see, when we begin to take our eyes off our situation and we begin to worship God, we have a sense of His throne room, that He is in control of all things, that He is the Lord God Almighty, that He is sovereign, and that He is worthy of our trust. Catch our fresh view of that throne room, because He is King. He is Lord. Well, this is a lesson that Nebuchadnezzar learned. He learned something about God's power, something about God's presence. But he needed to learn the most important lesson. It's a lesson you need to learn. It's a lesson I need to learn. The Lord is King. And if He is King, we bow and we worship Him and we obey Him. For He is the Lord God Almighty. He is our Creator, our Redeemer, and He is our King. Will you please worship Him and declare His mighty works, because He alone is worthy. Let's pray. Father God, we declare this evening that You are the Lord God Almighty. We bow before You. We worship You. We declare that You alone are God. And so we join all the company of heaven, all the saints who have gone before us, all the saints in our congregation, and we give You praise, honor, and adoration. May we worship You and declare Your great name. In Christ's name we pray.